Praise God. You know, the gospel is the good news, and I'm surprised how we can take the good news that's beyond, you know, our imagination almost, and is, and somehow turn it into bad. And I was kind of a master and this is not really exactly right, but it's kind of a good illustration. I was a master in our early marriage. We were not wealthy, and I had to borrow cars and anyway, I was a master at finally, you know, taking my wife out on and you're only getting a great meal or something, having a great time. And just finally just really relaxing and just really enjoying it. And it was like, wow, just really great. It was really wonderful. And on the way home, I'd say, we're kind of getting tight. We need to kind of tighten up the budget. And just blow the whole evening. Just take what was just great and just blow it right there and just, I probably have that trait still, but my flesh stays with me, as Jody said. But anyway, it's the same thing with the gospel. It's almost like it is such great news. That's what the power of the gospel is, the power of good news. And yet somehow people just keep making it bad. And so today we're going to take a look at it again, and we're going to go to Colossians. We were there last week. In chapter 3, we're going to be there again, and we're going to kind of pick up right now, just reminisce a little bit. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And so, seek first the kingdom and righteousness. We haven't emphasized that much, but I love it. Just seek the kingdom, seek God inside. And where's the kingdom? Jesus said the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It's inside you. So what we're seeking for is inside of us. So that's kind of a weird little thing, because you usually think about seeking outward, but it's actually seeking inward. And that's where the kingdom of God is. And the word seek there is very profound in the fact that it means seek with the intent to find. And we've talked about that, how you can sometimes look for something, but really you're not really looking for it. You're just filling up the, your wife told you to look for it, so you went to look for it. And but you weren't really seeking, expecting, and really expecting to find it. It was my tractor had probably gelled up or a little bit or something in a super cold one start. And I ran, finally started and died out here. That was the last week or two or whatever. And then I jumped it and it was, and it just wouldn't start. And I thought, I'm going to call somebody, have them drain all the, get the filters out and all that. And then I went back in the church here, did some things, walking back out, still jumping it. And I just said, man, Holy Spirit, why don't you just help me get this thing started? I'll get somebody to work on it later. And I got in and it took off. And I drove to the gas station. I got more fuel in it and took it home and everything's fine. Hallelujah. And I sometimes think, why is it you forget to ask? Why is it you forget to pray? Why is it you forget that this is good news? Why is it it's so easy just to go downhill? But that's what we got with the flesh. The tendency is to go downhill. So if we seek the kingdom and it's right and his and righteousness, it really says his, but it's not his. It just says seek the kingdom. So it's the king inside you. The dumb is inside you. You're not dumb. The domain is there, and that's where you find him. And also righteousness. And again, righteousness is the way things should be. And I hope you're getting a hold of this. We are righteous. It means we are the way we should be. And everything in our body, I just prayed for Fred right now. And he's got some nerves and he's got screws and plates and too much cowboying and all that kind of stuff. And the legs weren't working last Sunday. But just praying and said, be righteous. Be the way you should be. And that's a way better, isn't that a way better picture than thinking, I can't make any mistakes? When we hear righteousness or holiness, oftentimes we're actually thinking that that means I can't make any mistakes. We take some really good news that says you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we damper it down with, I just made a mistake. I'm not righteous anymore. And these are the things that, as Jody was saying, the things that are available to us every day, and we got to practice them. But also, I want to just say, just like our soccer kids, it's like, you can be phenomenal if you do what you know to do. Most people want to have an exciting life, but it's like there's something you got to do to have that. You do have a part in it. You do have a part in it. So we're going to go to Colossians, the first chapter. The third chapter, and when Chad read this for us last week, and here we go. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, have you been raised up with Christ? Yes. Good news. We believe in him, the King, and we've been raised up with him. Okay? And that speaks of he's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's symbolism or reality, however you want to put that, of authority. Everything's being in the process right now, being put underneath his feet. But he is at the highest point, right at the right-hand side of the Father. And it says, and you've been raised up to his level. It says, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. What are those things? And we're, once in a while, we just read scripture and then, and sometimes just slow it down. And then this would be a good one if you want to do some time and just meditation, taking some time here. That's kind of what I'm going to do. I've been doing this, for a long time, but this last week a lot. And it says, seek the things where he is seated. What things are we seeking for? What are we looking for? What's up there? And it would be kind of fun, I've been making my own list. You could just sit down and make your own list. But just get to thinking about that. If I'm supposed to seek the things that are above where Christ is seated, what are those things? And so we'll talk about a few of them here. One of them would be just when you seek that and you see that and you imagine that, all of a sudden, guess what? You're on a high view looking at things a lot different than you did when you were down below. It's amazing to me in the military how the high ground wins. If you get on the high ground, it's just, I've not been in the military, but I have played paintball. And it is amazing that if you can be on top of your opponent, how much better shots you got of wiping them out than down in a hole hiding. And it's just the same for life. When you visualize and you realize and you are aware that you are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, one of the first things you see is the things that you get to seek is the viewpoint. Marty always talks about a time our neighbor used to fly a little plane. He lived out of Union Center. He'd come out where we lived on 9 Mile, and he would fly his little plane out there and do some irrigation. But it's really funny. He just said, man, when you're up there above and you're looking down at all these farms, he said, it's just amazing because you see every bunk that's out of place, every panel that fell over, it's just all the things that aren't in a straight line. For farmers, some of that's important. There are some farmers that are very, we keep our line straight. But he just said, when you fly over, you just realize all these people have their own little kingdom down there. That's where they live, and that is their, and it's really true, But when you get up above, you say, wow, there's kingdoms all over the place here. There's all kinds of people having love. When I fly overseas and when I meet all kinds of people, and you do too, it's just like, whoo, there's a little bit more going on than just my little world. And that viewpoint alone sometimes can help you get correction and get a direction in your life, that you're not the only one and that there's, And the first thing, it kind of humbles you that you're not the only one out there living and having a life. But on the other side, you also realize, man, if my life's going to get better, it's going to be because I make a choice to do it because they all got their lives. I might as well get after mine and make it the best I can. So one of the things we seek when we seek the things that are above is we seek that viewpoint. And that alone can change so many things in your life, how you perceive things. What else is up there? Well, there's authority. There's peace, there's joy, You know what I like to think about? I like to think about Jesus being up there, and I may be a little. I'm off. We all know that, but how much we don't know. But a lot of people they love the cross, and we sang. I mean, I sang a lot of songs growing up at the cross, you know, and all that. And that's all. I mean, man, amen. That's when everything changed. Amen. But, you know, I'm so grateful Jesus isn't going back to the cross again. I'm glad he came as a baby. I'm glad he grew up. I'm glad that he took the stripes for us. I'm glad that he took the whipping for us. I'm glad. Me and Meg breaks my heart to think about it all. That he got separated from the Father. But you know what really makes me happy now? The good news is he's never going back to the cross. Hallelujah. I don't want to hang around the cross. I want to move on. He died on that cross so I could have life. He delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt so they could go into the promised land. Sometimes we're still camping out just talking about the good old days of the cross. But I hope that doesn't sound so bad. But he's not going back. Hallelujah. I look at the things above, and then one thing is up there is the victory has already been won. The battle's already been, the enemy's been defeated. He's already gone and done everything. He finished what he came to do. And when he finished that, he said, now, therefore, you guys go and take my life and live. Take my gifts and move. Take my name and move mountains. And so when we seek the things that are above, we're seeking the truth, and the reality of Christ is already victorious. And we go on, we'll find out, and we're already inside him. And then verse 2 says, set your mind on these things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And again, when you set your mind on this, take time out of your busy day and start focusing on this, you just walk through life differently. All of a sudden, you still got the same old problems. The tractor won't start. The plow won't run. By the way, Chris fixed my plow. God bless him forever, ever more. It was moving slow. Now it's moving fast. I'm ready for the snow. And so even when you're doing the everyday things, you're still in a, when you meditate on these things and you see these things, you're living in a different dimension. And then when you're not there, you're down in this hole, just, oh, God, what's another day? Oh, what's going to happen? You know, and for me, I won't talk about me right there. That's enough of that. Set your mind on these things. Set means to feel, to think and to feel. You know, we don't live by our emotions. We got to control those emotions. But you don't want to mix up the fact that the heart, your heart, the definition for heart, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, is the seat or the throne room of your feelings. So we're supposed to feel things. We say, watch over your heart, for out of it flows all the forces of life, the boundaries of life. Your heart, how you feel about things in your heart will determine how much money you make in life. It'll depend on how much, outwardness you have, how much joy you have. It'll control everything. Pay attention to your heart. And here Jesus or Paul is saying, set your mind, and feel and think about the things that are not just temporal here on earth, but there are things that are up there in eternal. So we'll go along. Some of this will make more sense, I think, as we go. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in the Lord. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to our immorality. It actually means kill yourself. bring death to. Now that sounds kind of like bad news, but that's really good news. It's talking about all the stuff that's with our flesh tagged onto us because of the fall. We can consider ourselves or just say, I'm dead to that stuff. When you're dead to Christ, you're separated from him. When you're dead to your old man, you're separated from him. He no longer has that a measure of fact, that impact on you. So we go ahead and list some of these earthly things. Immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Basically this, if when you seek the kingdom, you're seeking the king. When you're seeking the king, you're seeking your source. You're seeking your life source. In other words, God is the source of all things. And when you're seeking the kingdom inside your heart, what you're really seeking for is the source of life, the flow of life that brings all things that you need to live out your life. That's what you're seeking. When you let your flesh rule you, it doesn't bring life. You know, it's amazing how perverted people can get. Don't want to really dive into it, but it's amazing how perverted and how it never satisfies. It's never enough. It's never enough money. Billionaires are still sweating small business deals, fearing they're going to lose some money. Does that make any sense to any of us? But when you're seeking the kingdom, when you're seeking the life, it's that source of life inside you. And if you're seeking it anyplace else, it means you're trying to find another God. It's as simple as that. You're trying to find something else beside for a God, a source of life than God himself. Let's go on. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Now, this is an interesting deal because the wrath of God was satisfied in Christ Jesus. But most people believe there's still coming a day when all this is over that his wrath will be poured out again on those that were disobedient. And it makes a list of things here. What's really interesting for those of you that have been with us a long time and have studied this, the sons of disobedience, what's interesting is that word disobedience is two words, the negative. Not, you know, it's negative is the first word, and the second word is patho, which is what we give for faith, which is what you are persuaded about. So what it's saying is sons of disobedience, immediately we first of all think about all the actions that they do. But really what it all started was in their heart. It's the ones who are not willing to be persuaded about the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that separates us. That's the only thing that keeps us from experiencing the good news. That's the only thing that really counts. All the rest of these, you know, and you know what we as people like to do is get into the negative list and start picking a couple out that we really dislike and start nailing people for doing that. Every person I've ever talked to in prison has said this to me. I might have made my mistakes, but I've never done that. I mean, it's freaky. It's every time I meet with them. I made my mistakes, but I've never done that. And they get after somebody. And the whole thing is there's only one thing keeping anybody from experiencing the good news of Jesus Christ and experiencing all of life, and it is unwillingness to be persuaded. You ever met somebody that just wasn't willing to be persuaded about anything good? I mean, no matter what you brought up, they brought out the negative. No matter how, whatever I did, it's just like, yeah, but I bet that doesn't work for me. Yeah, but, you know, it's just like me when we got done with a great meal. Yeah, we're short of money. We, you know. Boy, sometimes I want to slap this guy up really bad. So that's important to see. Let's go on. And in them you also walked and when you were living in them. But now, say now, but now you also put aside all anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. We were just talking about lying here a little bit ago with people that lie. Tammy's husband, Rich, I used to say all the time, I said, all men are liars, most women. And I lied. Because all women lie. But I was trying to win a little favor. He used to just, no, John, we're not all liars. I go, yeah, we are. And he goes, yeah, we are. This actually says stop lying. Okay, but I'm going to back up here. But now... Boy, that's a great word. But now, man, Yes, we had all these problems. Yes, we were born in sin. Yes, we were obstinate to everything. Yes, we were discouraged. Yes, we were depressed. Yes, we were sick. But now, good news, we're saved. But now, we're saved. Sid, come on up. So Sid shared this story with me, and I wanted to share with you.
Okay, so my dad ran his hand through a saw back in 1955, and it was a little bit crippled, but he continued to use it. Never bothered him. I mean, you know, it got cold in the wintertime, but it never bothered him much. So then about 2009, his hand started to swell. And, you know, they checked it, and they were sure that he had a cancerous tumor in his hand. They scheduled him for surgery, and they opened up his hand, and they found that those stitches from 1955 that were supposed to be catgut were still there. So 5 turquoise stitches came out of his hand, and that solved the problem. And they have no idea how it was that his body handled it for 59 years, and then his body decided to reject it. But it did. It was pretty amazing. And the doctor came out, and he was just amazed and showed us the stitches. And it was crazy, but amazing.
Then what was cool, she shared that story with me on Wednesday. And I go, man, I like that story. Gosh, I like that story. And I didn't know why, but I thought, I like that story. And why do I like that story? Because the Holy Ghost is working. That's a beautiful parable, illustration of what happens to us in our heart. Seek first the kingdom, the rulership. Let's go down to verse 14. No, wait a minute. I'm going to back up. So it says, but now put aside. The word put means to lay aside, cast away, send away, basically take off. So he's saying, but now, because of the good news of Jesus Christ, we have the authority, we have the power. We are now not sons of those who are not willing to be persuaded. Now we are sons of God who are persuaded that God is good and that God is our God and he loves us. And so now we can put aside or send away anger and wrath and malice and all these evil things. How many of you saw that Dick Van Dyke turned 100? Anybody see that? And it was interesting. They said, what's the secret of living so long? And he says, don't get angry. Don't get angry. Put aside, lay aside, get it off you, all anger, fear, insecurity, anxiety. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom, all these things. He said, because God will take care of you. Do not be anxious about what you're going to eat and drink. What does he say in Philippians 4? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. How many things? Nothing. Are you persuaded that you can actually live a life without anxiety? Or are you on the side of, on that situation of saying, no, I'm persuaded you can't totally be free from anxiety. I'm persuaded you can't be free from fear. What's your persuasion? It comes down to unforgiveness. It comes down to, you know, and here's the part that now we get our eyes fixed on Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated with him, and now we have that authority to say, I can lay aside, I can send away all these things. And as our life is hidden in Christ, there are also things hidden in our heart. And what you're seeking a lot of times is you're seeking with the Holy Spirit to find some things hidden in your heart that need to be pulled out, because they are doing damage that you didn't even know they were there. A friend of mine, her brothers have been fighting really severe back pain. He can't function in life. He's tried everything. They were going to try some more surgeries. He's very scared of that. Anyway, somebody gave him a book, and she wanted, and she asked me if I'd read it, and I've read a good portion of it. But it's a doctor that's talking about how about back pain and shoulder pain, neck pain, and a whole lot of different things, but he's focused on back pain. And what he said was he's came up with this thing called TMS, tension myosis syndrome. It basically means muscles that are inflamed, causing tension, causing pain. And at least for him, he's just saying what he's found. And he's got a lot of people that said, yeah, it worked for them. They're here in severe pain, and they find out it's nothing to do with their physical body. And they're doing therapies, and they're doing things, and he just said, when he can figure it out that it is not the actual physical body that's being the problem, it's your brain responding to something inside. And quite often it's a repressed anger, fear. And it's hidden there. And it's trying to be recognized. And it sends a signal out to put severe pain into your body. And their testimonies are frequent there, you know, whatever. Maybe it's kind of like the cat gut. I'm just using for an illustration here. But I have seen this happen with people. We had a gal come to us, and she had had severe stomach pain. I didn't think about this till just now, but I think the Holy Spirit would like me to share it with you. And she was in her around 30, give or take. And I think it started around, her mom had put her on some antidepressants when she was like 18, and they were very bad, and they had horrible side effects. And she finally was just said, I'm done with this. And she just cold turkey quit, grabbed her sister, and went on a horseback ride, and ended up, man, because she came off those drugs so fast, she had a major reaction, fell off the horse, was in a coma, nearly died. But during that time, she had a vision of Jesus. And I don't remember all the details. Well, one of the things was he told her, I'm coming again, and I'm laying this on you that you've got to tell the whole world about this thing that I'm coming again, and da-da-da. And I forget the details of it. Anyway, fast forward a few years. Now she's got this incredible pain in her gut, and they did three surgeries on her. They could not find what's going on. She came to my office. Her sister recommended. And Debbie Mokin and I sat there and talked to her, and we just sharing these things, and she comes, explains this story, my heart was triggered on the Lord telling her she had this big responsibility. And so I asked her to describe that a little bit more, and finally I carefully just said, you know, honey, you had quite an experience. She says, yeah. And she's really somewhat proud of her spiritual story. I said, it was real, but I said, what you heard from Jesus was not from Jesus. And boy, she got mad. Then we calmed her down and just said, just listen a little bit. He would not put on you that responsibility. And we went to other scriptures. I said, what you had a very real experience, but that part of it was not truth. And again, she got very angry for a little while there. And Deb helped me, and we just took to the scriptures and start. And she got persuaded finally that it was not Jesus who told her to do all that stuff. But she was under this burden of feeling this responsibility. And so we just prayed, and literally we did. Just send it away. Put it off. It's not truth. Her pain went away instantly. That she'd had for years. Her countenance blew Deb and I away. She walked in this kind of, you know, beautiful gal, but she walked in just heavy laden. And I mean, look, when we prayed that simple prayer and said, I lay it aside, she looked 10 years young. She looked beautiful. She was free. She walked out of here bouncing. That pain was coming not from anything in her body. It was coming from a belief system inside her heart. And it manifested in the body. And this guy, this doctor says it's trying to tell you that you got something wrong. Now correlate that, though. Whether you believe in this doctor or not, that's fine. I'm not trying to get you. But correlate that with the fact of what we get to do by identifying fears, anxieties, worries deep within our heart that hadn't been identified, and just then saying, I lay them aside. I lay them aside. Be gone. He goes on to say this. Do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old man, old self, with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, which is renewed in the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal which is not, which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew or circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ in all and in, is all and in all. So he goes on to say, lay aside this old self. Get rid of it, push it out, and then put on. This word put on is really awesome. It's really talking about clothing. It's like put on clothing. But one of the definitions I really love, it says sink into it. Man, sometimes I just, when I'm doing this, I'm practicing this, I literally just go, you know, you ever sink into a nice warm blanket or just that feel good, surrounded, just, I guess that's what I do when I get my hot tub, just sink into that nice warm tub. And it's like, put on, sink into all these good things of love, joy, forgiveness, peace. Christ himself. If you read on down there, there's things that says there, like verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which you indeed were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word richly dwell. So all this is tying together with seek the kingdom. Seek the king, seek his rulership. And the good news is when he comes to rule, he does not bring condemnation. He does not bring shame. He does not bring accusation. He's not the wet rag in the group. He's not the downer in the party. He is the one leading the parade saying, this is great, this is awesome, and I love you. And let's all rejoice. And when you sink into that and you lay aside this other stuff, the manifestation of his glory comes into your life. And I really believe that majority of our sicknesses and physical ailments are from this very issue. And I'm, for one, am willing to be persuaded to seek the Holy Spirit's rulership and find things that are hidden. One of the things that I found, and this is kind of common with those of us who are, how can I say, sold out, dedicated, desiring to serve the Lord, wanting to be righteous. Let me put it in these words. There's times I felt such a responsibility to be strong and care for people. But I had a feeling of just being weary of it. Tired of it. Fearful of it. There was times when this desire that God placed inside of me to help admonish people, grow them up in Christ, there was times that it got so strong. I mean, that I don't know how you say it, but this little thing got down inside of me of a feeling of saying, I'm tired of being strong for everybody. I'm weary. I'm fearful that I can't keep it up. Well, where'd that come from? It didn't come from Jesus, did it? What was it manifesting? Well, it was manifesting a whole lot of me doing a whole lot of things, which were good things. But this feeling was down deep inside of that I didn't even recognize. I had to slow down and find that. And when I did, first I wanted to deny it. No. I love serving the Lord. Man, I joyfully serve. Well, that's my new man does, but my old man doesn't. And this feeling was coming into my heart from the old man. And until I recognized it, it was doing damage. And how to get rid of it? Truth. Truth sets you free. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. My old man's dead. Shut up. If you're going to say shut up to anybody, say shut up to your old man. What else is the truth? Truth is, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I've entered into the rest. Hebrews. I've entered in. God entered into his rest. We're supposed to enter into our rest. We do it by faith. And what is that rest? It's when you stop your works. Now listen real carefully. Think about it. If I've died and I've entered his rest, that means I've ceased from my works. I don't have work anymore. What I did was take what the Lord was asking me to do and what I wanted to do in loving people, and I brought it into my heart as a, hey, I'm going to do this. This is something I got to do. That sounds kind of small, but it's huge. It was no longer by the grace of God, it's by my hard effort. I got to do this. It was no longer in a freedom way, it was now in a heavy responsibility way. How many Christians live their life out with this heavy responsibility? I've got to be righteous. I've got to do the right. It's not Christian to have that attitude. And what they do, they're letting these old feelings come in, and they're coming in, and they're going to manifest some way in your body and your mind and your relationships, and you got to drive them out with the truth. Lay him aside and just said, no, Christ died for me and he totally gave me freedom. What I do now in loving people is totally out of his grace coming into my life. Totally, his burden is easy. His yoke is easy. And I'm doing it by his grace. And I'm doing it because this man cheerfully. But I'm not worried if you guys don't respond to it. I'm not upset if you don't like me. I'm not concerned about all the guys that tell me how wrong I am. My old man is, but my new man, no. I hope you got this. I hope you find some cat gut. Is it actually made out of cat gut? Or? That's what I heard before. I don't know. Something just not seem right about that. Cats are demonic. No, I'm just kidding. Forget about all that. I didn't mean to just mess that up. Father, I thank you that you will help us seek the kingdom in our hearts and find things there revealed through your spirit that have been placed there by the enemy. In a way, it was placed in there to look right, to feel right, but it was so wrong. You came to set us free. You brought good news. You said you said we could actually die to the old man and that you would renew our new man. And this new man is perfect and blameless and freely works with you. And the grace, your power, not our works, the grace, your ability, the glory of your kingdom, that where you are seated at the throne, would flow into us and flow out of us as a river of living water. But we don't carry that heaviness. And we don't carry all that weight of trying to be perfect in our own efforts. And Father, I just say now in the name of Jesus, I'm just going to declare out of my mouth that as you show these things to us, we're going to lay them aside and we're going to sink into your love. But as we sink into your love and your joy and your nature, then we softly say, be gone. And these manifestations that have been affecting us in our relationships, in our thinking, and in our body will just dissipate and be gone. The good news is we have a Savior. He's our King. And now we are the saved. And now we're walking it out, learning day by day, growing in grace and the knowledge of God, putting on the new man, laying aside the old man. Thank you. Thank you for this incredible gift of life and life abundant. Jesus, you are King, my King, our King forevermore. Amen.